from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Chloe here. July 28th. Health and longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from sincerely, Vivi. The boomer 67. It's not normal, so my friend is going through a really tough time with a court trial. And it's not just the trial itself that's hard, but also the media attention and public scrutiny that comes with it. They're not allowed to defend themselves or share their side of the story, which is brutal and violating. It feels like they're being put on trial in the public eye, with their bank accounts and personal info being shared without context. A lot of people are reaching out with kind words, but it's not always easy to know what to say. My friend appreciates the validation and support, but also acknowledges that it's not a normal situation they're in. They're getting words of wisdom from their loved ones, reminding them to stay patient and pray, as it's a test from Allah. It's interesting to see how people are responding, with some saying things like, "God chose you for a big test," or "God tests the ones he loves." Even an 11-year-old daughter said something that surprised her parents, showing that even in tough times, there's still room for love and support. Next, second, from family troubles. Are you able to say yes to these questions about your estrangement? Hey, I wanted to share this with you. A therapist created a list of questions to help people in estranged relationships see themselves as good parents or people despite their imperfections. The idea is to identify areas where you might be self-punishing or beating yourself up over things that aren't your fault. The questions are pretty straightforward, like, "I don't think about my child all the time," or, "I can remind myself that I've suffered enough." The idea is to see which ones you can honestly say yes to and which ones you struggle with. It's a way to acknowledge your worth and move forward, rather than getting stuck in guilt or shame. Up next, third, from Fatherly. Jefferson Fisher has the secret to getting along better with absolutely everyone. Jefferson Fisher, a Texas-based personal injury attorney, has built a following by sharing short, practical videos on everyday communication. He frames disagreements as seeing things differently, which he says opens space for connection. And he stresses that the way parents speak to their kids shapes how those kids will speak to their own families. His new book, The Next Conversation, expands those ideas into a broader toolkit. The core themes are using perspective language, pausing before reacting, and, most importantly, repairing after a conflict. Simple phrases like, "I see why you'd feel that way," or "I'm sorry I missed that," are presented as the building blocks for rebuilding trust. Fisher also talks about check-ins and check-outs with his spouse, brief morning and evening rituals that keep partners from drifting into roommate mode. Asking, "What's coming up for you?" replaces the more defensive, "What's wrong?" and helps keep the conversation grounded. Overall, his message is modest. Communication isn't a talent you're born with, but a daily practice of listening, acknowledging feelings, and taking responsibility for repair when things go off track. And then, fourth, from Now That We're a Family. What I read, pulp, watched this month. This month, I dove into fiction with Gone with the Wind, a book I'd been curious about for a while. I was surprised by how engrossing it was, despite some scenes that were a bit too racy for my taste. What really drew me in, though, was the way the book retells the Reconstruction era from a Southerner's perspective, offering a nuanced view of a time in history that's often oversimplified. As I read, I found myself drawn to the characters, especially Ellen and Melanie, who embody a strength and selflessness that I admire. They're not perfect, but they're willing to put others' needs before their own, even when it's hard. Scarlett, on the other hand, is a more complicated character. She's driven by her own desires and fears, and her selfishness ultimately leads to her downfall. One of the things that struck me about Gone with the Wind is its portrayal of relationships and the ways in which we often prioritise our own desires over our relationships with others. I found myself reflecting on my own marriage and the ways in which I sometimes cling to my pride, even when it's not serving me or my partner well. Overall, I finished the book with a sense of hope, despite Scarlett's many flaws. I think she's capable of growth and change, and I'm rooting for her to find the security and love she's been searching for. If you're considering reading Gone with the Wind, I highly recommend it. The book offers a unique perspective on a pivotal moment in American history, and its characters are complex and relatable. Next. Fifth, from Kefela. This Netflix documentary tells the story of the Jewish Queen of Chess. A new Netflix documentary, Queen of Chess, tells the story of chess grandmaster Judit Polgár and her sisters Susan and Sophia. Born in Hungary during the Soviet era, they faced intense scrutiny from local authorities who saw their chess-centric upbringing as abusive. The film explores their lives, achievements, and challenges in a male-dominated environment. However, it surprisingly omits any mention of their Jewish heritage, despite their father discussing the influence of Judaism on their intensive training regimen. This absence feels like a loss, particularly given the authentic portrayal of chess and the sisters' experiences. The film does use real footage and showcases the Polgár sisters' resilience and determination, making it an inspiring watch despite its shortcomings. Up next, sixth, from Kefela, Boy George releases a pro-Israel song. Boy George, the British pop icon, has released a new song called Od Nirkod, meaning We Will Dance Again in Hebrew, that defends Israel's military response in Gaza and criticises musicians who support the Palestinian cause. The song, which is a reggae-inspired track, declares, "If you're ever confused, I stand with the Jews." Boy George has been vocal in his support for Jewish communities since the Octi 7, 2023, invasion of southern Israel, and has rejected calls to boycott the Eurovision Song Contest over Israel's participation. He's drawn praise from pro-Israel voices, including Stop the Hate UK, a British Jewish anti-antisemitism campaign. The song's title is inspired by the slogan of survivors of the Nova Music Festival, where Hamas terrorists killed 378 young people and kidnapped dozens more. And then, seventh, from Healthy Mum Club. Stop wearing plastic clothing. Most clothing today is made from synthetic fibres, which are essentially a type of plastic. The most common types are polyester, nylon, acrylic, and polyethylene, all derived from petroleum or plastic. These fabrics are often blended together in clothing, and since our skin is the largest organ in our body, it's worth considering the impact of synthetic clothing on our health. If you're already mindful of the food you eat and the products you use on your skin, you can start making gradual transitions to natural fibres like cotton, wool, or silk for your clothing. Next, eighth, from the workspace for children, hosting playdates at home, from the snack tray to the kid who won't leave. So you're getting ready for a playdate at home and feeling a little anxious about it. First, let's talk about mindset. It's normal for kids to get messy and squabble when they're together, and it's not a sign that the playdate is failing. Think of it as an opportunity for them to practice social skills outside of school. The goal isn't to run a perfect 2-hour playdate, but to let them have some freedom to play and learn from each other. You set up the space, stay close enough to intervene if needed, and let them get loud and a little messy. It's your house, so it's okay to have some boundaries. When another kid comes over, try not to get too attached or feel like you need to be their friend. Be friendly, but also firm and clear about your rules. This will help you stay neutral and avoid feeling resentful. And remember, Most kids are not their best selves right after school, so keep the play date short and sweet. One thing that helped me was establishing a welcome ritual that worked for my family. I'll share some of my favourite setups and tips in a future episode. For now, just know that it's okay to set boundaries and prioritise your own household's needs. With a little practice, playdates can become a fun and enjoyable experience for everyone involved. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow, that's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.